All right, so we're at the top of Menzayin Amud Aleph. So the Gemara is going to continue to dissect the Mishnah and understand it better. So it says, Omer l'chaveiro. So this is at the end of the Mishnah, discussing whether, when you say Bayitzeh or Beitcha, right, what type of impact does that have on the duration of the Neder? So Bayah Abimai, right, so here we asked, Konim lebeit bayitzeh she'ata nechnas. So now, as opposed to in our Mishnah, where he's taking a neder regarding himself, he says, Konim lebayitzeh she'ani nechnas, that I won't enter. And therefore, when we said bayitzeh, we said clearly that meant, right, even beyond the duration of the ownership, because he referred to the object, the bayitzeh, not to beitcha, being the possessive form. And therefore, the neder would extend beyond, right, the ownership of the house. Bayitzeh she'ata nechnas meit ho she'machro. What's the status now? If he does this to a third party, it says konim bayitzeh she'ata nechnas or she'machro acher mau. What's the din here? Adam osir davar she'bishuto she'etzei mishuto lo. Can a person restrict something that's in his possession now, but eventually will not be in his possession? Right, so now the Gemara is sure here are a couple of things that the Gemara is sure about. First of all, that Bayitzeh, right, means li'olam, means forever. That's the first thing the Gemara is sure about. I mean, that many times the Gemara Nedarim is not even sure what the language means, right? So the Gemara is sure that if you use the language regarding yourself, right, then Bayitzeh would mean li'olam, forever. Right, so the question now only is whether Bayitzeh works when you're looking at a third party. Because, what's the status? We discussed this yesterday about the status of when it comes to Nedarim, you have the ability to aser yourself, right, on anyone else's property. You have the ability to aser anybody else's property on yourself. What you can't do is restrict someone else in somebody else's property, meaning that where you have no shaykhut on either side. Neither you nor the property has any shaykhut to you. And that's basically what's happening here. Right, when you say bayitzeh to someone else, right, what are you saying? You're saying this house, right, even when it leaves my rishus, will be restricted to you. If that's the case, you are now restricting someone in property that you don't own, right, and it's someone else. So that's a oser, right, Devar v'shel chaveru al chaveru. This is answering a third party's object on another third party, and that's not within your purview, that's not within your control. So that's what the Gemara wants to understand better. Can you do such a thing? Because why? Why should you be able to do it? Because of bayitzeh. Possibility that you did it while it was still in your possession, and then when it leaves your possession, maybe it retains that status. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav l'tashma evaraya. What's that? I only leave no konim shi'atan eneli umeit yirshenu. Right. So now, if a person says to his child that you are restricted from getting hana from me, once he dies, then his son can inherit him. B'chayav umoto. If he adds on the words while I'm alive, and even after I die, umeit lo yirshenu, and then he dies, right? Then he cannot inherit him. So what do you see here? Again, where the father's dead, it's no longer his property anymore. It's no longer his property, why can he aser b'hano, right, that which his son is collecting? Now, lo yirshenu here does not literally mean lo yirshenu, he won't inherit him. We had this come up earlier, right? But lo yirshenu means that he does inherit it, he just can't get any benefit from it. The inheritance moves to him in a Torah, and that ownership does move to him. The problem is that he can't get any hana from it because his father's ned there applied both with chayav ube moto. Even after his father died, he restricted materials. So what do you see? The person can restrict something that's in his possession. I mean, it was in his father's possession when he took the neder. And even after his father dies, and it's in his son's possession, that he can restrict it on his son. So here's a proof to what Avimai is asking. Which is, can you restrict something once it leaves your possession? And the answer is, yes, you can restrict. If it's in your possession when you take the neder, you can restrict it once it leaves your possession. So that's the conclusion of the Gemara. Gemara happens to be in in Bava Kamma happens to mention that, what do you do with this property? He does inherit the property, but he can't, right, get any benefit from the property. So what does he do? Right, he's not in exactly in a great position here, because he owns something that he can't do anything with. So the Gemara there says, "V'yiten levanav alechav," he can give it to his children or to his brother. Right? And if he not, if he doesn't have any brothers or children, right, well, he can actually borrow money, lovet, right, and then the not pay the loan, and the creditors will come and use this as collateral, and they'll collect this as collateral. Right, so that's how you can get around it. The problem is, exactly, very good. So that's exactly the problem here. Why isn't any of this hung up? I mean, even if he hands it to his children or to his brothers, right, there's what we call, we've seen this before, tovat hanah. Right, very good.
We've also seen that paying someone's debt isn't giving him hanah.
Right, so paying someone's debt is not giving them hanah. That's only when you're not obligated or you're not directing them to pay your loan. Meaning that you didn't.
Here he's letting them come and
but he directed it. He made that the collateral up front. So his intent was to give the property as collateral. And then when he backs away, he's basically pointing them to the land to go get it, right? But, right, exactly. So that's the question is, why is he allowed to do that? And brings down, first of all, he says when he gives it to his sons or his brothers, that he has to actually do it in a way that it's hefker and not in a case where it's actually giving it to them. He has to do, you know what, let's look, let's show you this in the Ran, because it's more worthwhile reading. It says, Ubali Chovin. Let me see, how can we find this in the Ran? Can I see your format for a second? Yeah, but I'm looking for it on the sides. I think I'm looking for things on the side that I can guide you towards.
Which Gemara Masch was in?
It's in Gemara, in the Bayah, but have you my...
Which words?
How many lines down from Konam?
It's up to you know what? Use the word Konam. It's up 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. No, I skipped it. No, I did 2, 4, 6, 7 lines up from the word Konam. Directly above the word Konam in the round, the big word Konam. Yeah. 7 lines up, Ovali Kovin. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, there you go. Ovali Kovin, Bayim, and Ephraim Shapir. They don't come from his knowledge and take payment. Then he would be paying his loan with Yisrael Night. That's clearly not allowed. This is what you were asking, right? So the Leo, the Mavriach Ari, or is it maybe two? Was asking that Mavriach Ari, someone who removes a lion from his friend's possessions, who Heinukisha Acher Poreya Shalom Midato. That's only when a third party pays, not with his knowledge. About Midato, if it's with his knowledge, Vaday Asur. He's clearly moving him in his possession, meaning that he's using his payment for his loan.
I'm going to take out loans and look at Chibon, knowing you're not going to repay it.
Right, so that's... My name is Das, because they're getting paid, they're getting a land.
They're getting something bad.
Right,
but it's still the tircha that the model probably maybe wouldn't go for.
Right, they may know about it. I mean, he might even have told
them. Set up job, hopefully.
Right, so Ella, so this is an amazing line in the round. Ella, Bob Korfo, based in Megavin Lahan. So that when you have a chov and you fail to repay the loan, right? It's not that the creditors come and take the land. It's rather Beis Din. They go to Beis Din and the Beis Din comes and takes it. Even though he indirectly will get a benefit, lo ichbatman, right? That's the rod sheet that we've seen all over the place. That what? When it's grama, right? When you cause benefit, it's not a problem for mutre hana. Right. So now what about giving to his brothers and his sons? So first he solved the loan problem by saying what? He interjects Beis Din in here and saying that it's not you collecting, it's not the creditors collecting, it's really Beis Din collecting. And therefore it ends up in Beis Din's hand, and then Beis Din goes ahead and pays the creditors. So since there's a third party that's intercedes here, that makes it it's not like you're paying the loan with your land. Right, it's a big finish. That's amazing. He hands it to his, you give something to your children or to your brother, they're going to be, thank you, thank you, thank you. That's Tovat Hanah.
Especially a house.
Right, all right. A field, a house, I mean, whatever this is Yerusha. It's pretty. I mean, that got me Torah Mishloach Chaveiro, right? We had this with Chuma, right? Whether you're allowed to be Torah from your stuff or your friends. We had that issue of Torah Sanah. Yesh Lomar, the Lava Memra Shneet Lahem Mamash. Shouldn't give them directly. Shemar Lahem Makom. Doesn't show them the place. Vomer, this is like the Chen Bunny. Nixayelo Asar Alai. This stuff I can't do anything with. Abba, Ve'eni Yodea Ma'asebehem. I don't know what to do with them. You take it and do whatever you want with it. It's not really a gift, but rather you just say, look, it's useless to me, do whatever you want with it. Alright, so that's the Ron. The Ron solves the problem of what he can do. He inherits the land, can't do anything with the land, because he's Asur Bahama. Also, the Gemara Baba Kama suggests that either he uses it as a collateral for a loan, or giving it to his children or his brothers. So the Ron has to explain each of those items of why there's no Hanah here. Giving it to his children or his brothers, the Ron says, is because, well, he doesn't directly gift it to them, but he rather kind of says, I don't know what to do with this. Right? This is the situation. Right? You guys think about the best thing to do with it is. Right, and then they go ahead and take it. So he says it's coming mitzad hefkir and not mitzad matana. And then with regards to the payment of the loan, the Ron says that it's basin that's taking it and not the creditors, and therefore he's not repaying his loan with the land. Right, he is getting the hanah, but it's more closely related to mavriach ari than it is to actually paying biyadayim, because basin's doing it, and when basin does it, he gets the side benefit that it actually he doesn't have to repay the loan anymore. All right, so that's the first sugya today. All right, next sugya today is a little more difficult, but we'll try to go, we'll go through it. I mean, we can go through it quickly. I don't think the sugya itself is hard. The problem is that it's not clear what the Gemara is after in this, or in the Chiddush that the Gemara is after, and that's what the Rishonim spent time on. All right, Tzan Hatam. So we have a mission over there. Konem Perot Ha'elu Alai. He says, Konem Perot Ha'elu Alai. Or he says, Konem Haim Hain Alpi. Or he says, Konem Haim Lipi. So he uses any of these languages. Asher B'chilu Fehem. Not only are you restricted in the fruits themselves, right? You're not only restricted in the fruits themselves, but you're restricted in any growth. You know, if these fruits are used to grow something else, you'd still be restricted in them. And if they're exchanged, if these fruits are exchanged for something else, the item that they're exchanged from will now become usher to you. Meaning that they will carry over, the usher will carry from the fruits to the other item, because they now, this new item stands in place of the fruits. Right, something akin to hekdesh, right? Something where if you're opposed to the hekdesh, right, the money is tofes, the kedusha, and therefore you're going to be restricted in the money and not the original item. All right, so that's just the basic mission. Now the Gemara wants to know. Bayi Rami Bar Chama, Harnam Konim Peret Ha'ilu Al Ploni. All right, so again, that mission that we just brought is clear that he's talking about himself. What happens if he does this to a third party? Konim Peret Ha'ilu Al Ploni. Mahiu Bechilu Fehim. Does that have the tokif, the same strength, right, to restrict someone else? Bechilu Fehim. Do we say like by him? Since a person can restrict someone else's fruits on himself, right? So therefore, since he has the ability with regards to himself to make what otherwise is out of his rishus, meaning someone else's property, to restrict on himself, so too can he restrict something that's not in existence yet. What's not in existence yet? Gidulehem, Mechilufehem. Those aren't items that are right here and now. They're not, the here and now is the fruit, right? The offspring of the fruit, or the exchange of the fruit. Neither of those are present today. So maybe only when you're talking about yourself, where you have the ability to restrict other people's possessions on yourself, can you also restrict items that don't come into the world. You see a certain equivalence between them, which is they're both items that I don't have control over, but yet I'm allowed to restrict them. Whereas, right, when it comes to a third party, this is the line that we've been using. You can't restrict someone else's possessions on another party, right? Because you don't have any balus or any rishus whatsoever. You don't own the object, and you're not the subject of the neder, so you can't do either. Right? Therefore, also, you can't restrict something, meaning that you don't have enough power, or it's not within your ability to restrict something that doesn't exist yet, just like you can't restrict something that you don't own, or something that is not you, right? You're not the subject or the object of the neder. Oh, what's the other possibility? The other possibility is Dilma Mishum Techilufim Ki Gidulim Dami. Maybe Chilufim are like Gidulim. Okay, so now the Gemara's assumption is what? That Gidulim, how do Gidulim work? Gidulim are not a new object, they're not a Davar Shebolam, they're just an extension of the original object, and therefore they'll be Asur. So maybe too, Chilufim aren't necessarily Davar Shebolam, right? But rather something, an extension of the original object. If they're an extension of the original object, we're really not talking about Davar Shebolo Bali Olam. It's a Davar Shebolo Olam. It's this object. And this object has, what do you call them, tentacles, or the ability to reach beyond itself, which is that its Gidulim, or Chilufim, will allow it to extend beyond itself. So, in that case, it won't make a difference whether it's him or his friends, meaning that you'll be able to restrict it. So Amar Rav Acha, right? So we'll solve the problem here. Amar Rav Acha ben Yuni, we're going to give two answers. I'm going to reject both answers, but at least we'll try. Tashma, Homer the Ishto, someone says to his wife, Konim Shani Nene Lach, right? Lach, that I will not get any benefit, or Shani Nene Lach, that I will not provide you any benefit. So a husband says to his wife, I will not provide you any benefit. It has to be set up in a way that does not, all right, avoids the Shibud issue. Right, he says, if you eat certain pay, you know, if he restricts something else that causes, triggers this to go into effect. So, Lova, Ovale, Kobin, Bayim, Bin Ephraim. She can borrow money, and after she borrows money, the creditors can come and collect from the husband. Okay, again, because there are a couple things. One issue here is, even according to Hanan, who believes that if you feed someone's wife, right, then Munach, right? He's Munach Mamono Al Kernat Tzvi, right? He left his money out for the, for waste, for naught. Right? So that is only true when you give it to her, Betoras, right? Mazon. But if, right, when it's Toras Halva, if he specifically, Ron spoke about this, we spoke about this earlier, that if the only guy's really caught because he's not smart, had he lent her the money, right, he would be able to collect from the husband. But if he gives it to her, Betoras Mazon is a Matana, assuming that's his obligation, the husband's obligation to pay the Mazonos, then he can't go and collect. But here, they're giving to her, Betoras Halva, she's borrowing money, they're lending money. When they lend the money, it's clear that their recourse is against the husband. And therefore, they can go and get from the husband, they can go and collect from the husband himself. So therefore, you see what? You see that even though it's a chilufin, right? Meaning, because what's happening here? She's borrowing money, right? And then they're going and taking the husband's money and repaying the loan. So they're exchanging the husband's money for the loan. They're translating that into the creditors, right? And therefore, maybe that should be considered benefit to her. So why? My time on Bali Chobin Ephraim. La Mishum de Chilufim, La Ki Gidulim Dami. Must be why? Because Chilufim, when you exchange an item, it already loses its restriction. So the husband's money is restricted to the woman, right? But not to the creditors. I mean, the creditors are not considered to be Masayeya, the Obrei Aveira here. They're not, they are not facilitating her benefiting from her husband's money. We don't consider as if they're facilitators here, because chilufim, it's exchanged. They've changed the money that she is restricted into a loan, which has nothing to do with him, right? And therefore, that exchange already removes the iser hana, and therefore they can do it. So it must be that chilufim is wav ki gidulim dani.
Would it matter whether the neder was made after the loan is already incurred, let's say?
Right. If the loan was made beforehand, right, then I don't think they may not be able to bring a proof from it then, but I don't think it'll change the outcome, meaning that he should be able to repay it anyway, because it's not like that you're saying that his neder will cover the loan because he knows about it.
Yeah.
No, I don't think so, because the whole part, the loan issue is that she is not directly benefiting from him. That's what the Gemara is concluding here, right. So that would not be included. I don't think so. I don't think it should make a difference. All right. So Amar Rava. So Rava answers up. Dilma lechatchilu delo. Maybe she's not entitled to lechatchila do this. The avod avod. But if she did it, then it's done. So technically, what chilufim are like kidulim dummy, and she shouldn't do this. But if she did it already, we're not going to stop her. That's what the Rava answers. Rava answers that the Mishnah might only be talking to the avod and not lechatchila. Right, we'll have to go back. Again, this is going to take us back to the Rishonim in the beginning. We won't do it right this second, but just what exactly is the case that the Gemara is after here? I mean, how could you have such a thing as Lechatchila and Bediyeved when we're talking about Isser Hanah? I mean, Isser Hanah, it's either Asur or it's not Asur, right? I mean, what's this status that you could be Bediyeved or Lechatchila? I mean, either this is considered Hanah and you can't do it, or it's not considered Hanah. It's not considered Adana, why is it only Bidiyevit? Should be Lechatchila. If it is considered Adana, then why can you do it even Bidiyevit? Right, so we have to address that issue. I'm just pointing it out now. Alright. Ella, so Gemara tries another proof. Tashma, Hamakdish, Mekadesh, I'm sorry. Mekadesh, Beorla, Eina Mekudesh. Someone who tries to marry a woman with Orla. Orla is Isurei Hana. It's something that's restricted in Hana. When it's restricted in Hana, you haven't given the woman anything of value. So if you haven't given anything of value, right, then eina mikudeshet. There's no kiddushin here. There's nothing to talk about. But machran bikidesh b'dmeim, say he sells off the orla, and then he uses the proceeds to marry harizu mikudeshet. That works. That kiddushin works. So what do you see? You see that chilufehen. Right, what's chilufehen? You had orla, which is aser b'hana'ah, the same as a neder, right? And yet he sells the orla, and the money that he gets, the proceeds he gets from that, he's able to use, and they have value. So you see that the iser hana'ah is not carrying over to the money that he is using, and therefore it works as kiddushin. So hachanami also over here, I'm sorry, in our case over here, same thing. When he takes the neder hana'ah, it should be what? It should be that chilufehen are not restricted on the third party, because you see here again that you're able to sell Isra Noah and get the money and then be mekadesh with it. So Gemara answers up, Hachanami lechatchiluhu dulo b'avad avad. No, maybe this is only b'di'avad. If machran, if he did sell them, then we're chosesh for the kedushin. But not lechatchilu, we don't say you go sell orla, right? And therefore it's okay, you remove the Isra Noah by selling the orla. That we do not say. Right, that's a Gemara. We're going to end up. We'll stop here today, but I want to go back now to the Rishonim and understand what the issue is. What's the Gemara's question even over here? Because a lot of these issues are issues that we have answers to already. When it comes to Isurei Hanoah, when it comes to Chilufehem, these are items that were already addressed by this Gemara or other Gemaras, and therefore, what's the Gemara's really question here? What's the Gemara's question? Whether chilufehem are applicable in our case over here? So the Ron really picks up. The Rosh is the first one who says it, and the Rosh basically goes through a bunch of cases and says our Gemara can't be talking about this case because we know this is pshita. Can't be talking about this case because it's pshita. Can't talk about this case because it's pshita already. Right? So he basically goes through a bunch of cases that, like when we read the Gemara, we think that's exactly what the Gemara is talking about. And he says, well, we know the answer to all these cases, so that certainly cannot be what the Gemara is talking about. What is the Gemara talking about? And this is in the end what's going to come out, and that's why this B'dievel Chathila might be relevant, is that this is a Knas Dirabonan. Right? It's a fine Midirabonan. Is there a fine Midirabonan with Chilufehen? I mean, that otherwise Chilufehen would be Mutter in this case. Question is, when he does such a thing, when he tries to circumvent the Neder in this way, where the Rabbanan Kones him. So they fine him in this instance in order that the Isra Hanah will carry over to the Chilufin. Right? And that's the Gemara's question here. And the Gemara is trying to bring a conclusion that you see from other cases of Isra Hanah that the Chilufin would stick even afterwards. And then Rava's answer is, no, that's only B'di'evit. But L'chatchila, we're not going to let you do that. Why aren't we going to let you do that? Because there's this Knas D'Rabbanan, L'chatchila. If you've already done it, does the Knas D'Rabbanan still apply? That's where you can ask the question of L'chatchila B'di'evit is when you have a Knas, a fine. How does the fine apply? Does the fine apply to dissuade you from doing L'chatchila? If you ask us to do it, we're going to say no. But B'di'evit, if you already have done it, it's already in effect and we're not going to bother you with it. Or no, does the Knas even impact even once you've done it? All right, so that's the basic structure. Then right now we can read it inside and see what all the pshitas are, what are all the easy What's obvious that we're not talking about in this Gemara?
The Arler is a funny comparison. It's a derisive. Of course, it's for anybody before anybody did anything.
Right, right. So you see, that's very good. So that's the first thing that we should see here, that our question is not a question simply about Nidarim. Our question is a global question about Isur Hanah. And one of the proofs they bring is exactly that, that the final proof of the Gemara is from Orla, which has nothing to do with Nidarim. So it must be that our sugya here is not a Nidarim sugya, it's a general Isur Hanah sugya about what's the situation with all Isur Hanah, exactly for what you just pointed out, is that the proof they bring is from Isur Hanah and not from Nidarim. That's good. So that's the first thing I think they point out. let's just see where we'll start. See from Iran.
You bring up this idea of what's the wrong answer because we learned already. This is the first idea that we did today.
Yeah.
We've had it several times before.
We had it once before, actually, and the Gemara's conclusion was different. Since you know that all this is going to pick up on it. The Gemara there says, shiny, b'chayv v'moto. That was the Gemara's conclusion before. Rabba wanted to bring a proof that you could be osur davar shelo b'shuto from this mission over here. And the Gemara concluded on, Membet. Gemara there concluded that this isn't a good proof because shiny ha'ka, because he said b'chayv v'moto. That he added in the extra lushan of Chayv Moto.
Right, I was thinking about that one before, but I remember that was in. But we've had the sugya just in general where can you ask for something for now and even after it leaves your possession?
That's sugya. Yeah. I bet that was a sugya.
We had it longer also, I think.
I don't remember. I think that was the Iker Sugya when we discussed it. Was in Membet. Is it, if you could be Osir Davar Sheino B'Shuto. There, the Gemara rejects this Mishnah as a proof. Right, so all the Rishonim say here that rejection over there was just a tchiyah. Was it just trying to get out to get to the right answer over there? But, truthfully, it does work. And you see from this Gemara that the Gemara feels that it's a fine proof to do that. All right, so now, here in our sugya. If you look in the Ran in Bayi Rami Bar Abba. Bayi Rami Bar Abba. It's right below the word Koneim in the Ran there. Bayi Rami Bar Abba. It's Koneim Peret Elo Koneim Mahu B'chilufim. So now, Lav, to your point, the first thing that the Ran says, Lav bekunamot l'chud kami b'ayle. This is not just a question about Nidarim. Ela bekuluhu yisere ena da'ama namisvekele. This is a question with all, regards to all, Mr. Ayano, why? For exactly your point. Mahayno divayt l'kaman, tashma mehekte amakdish b'kaddish. Kaddish b'orla. The proof on the next Amud is from Orla. So you can see clearly that we're talking about Yisrael and Arzat. But Lav, L'chalifan, L'chatkila mi'bayli. It's not about exchange on L'chatkila. The Vaday, Koshu Osir Bano, Osir Namochlo, Orla Chalifo. Any Yisrael and Arzat, since when can you go and sell Orla? Like, what, when was the last time you know that you have Yisrael and Arzat? So you know, I'll take care of it, I'll sell it, and now I can get all the money. I mean, that's exactly the benefit. That's Yisrael and Arzat. How could you do that? If you don't say this, guess what? We can take care of a lot of problems here. You have chametz over lava pesach, azur b'ana. You have shor niskal that's azur b'ana. I'll take care of it. You just go ahead and sell it. But I sell it, I can take the money now, and everything's free and clear. So obviously that's not what we're talking about here. Sheyachol amochol ovdei kochavim, sell to non-Jews. And why, if somebody steals a shor niskal or steals chametz, they don't have to repay the money? Why? Because it's not valuable. Shor niskal is worthless, and so is chametz that's over on the Pesach. It's worthless. Why? Because it's an isur hanah. When it's an isur hanah, you can't do anything with it. If you could sell it, then that's not true. If you could sell it, then it does have value. If it has value, then when you steal it, you'd be stealing something of value. It's clear to the Gemara, to lechatchila asur, that it's to sell it is asur. Ella, she'avar, that he violated this restriction, me'achlichlan, right, mistakenly. The Gemara's question is about when he did sell it. Anyway, what's the case? Ulacher nami lomi ba'ile. Listen to this, Ron. So, when you're talking about a third party, the Gemara doesn't have any question here. The b'shitalei to mutarim. It's clear that it's mutter when you're doing it with the third party. She ain't the chatofes et amav, ela avados kochavim mushvis. Right? The only thing that's tofes, it's money, is ovde kochavim and shvis. I mean, the only thing that carries its kedusha, I mean, like hektesh, where I described it akin to hektesh, right, that wasn't a good comparison. Because that's unusual. I mean, that where you're pulled the hektesh and the kedusha moves on to the money, right, that's something that's unique to hektesh. It's also unique to avodas kochavim and shviz. Shviz happens to be one of the exceptions, you know, it's in Yonah Dioma. But if you go ahead, and this is in Yerushalayim, they're not choshesh for this, but in Bnei Brak they are choshesh for this. Right, those that are eat, you will not breathe. Right? During. Right, so
that,
right, the, it's grown. There's a machlokes between the Mabit and the Beit Yosef, whether the ownership of a goy is mafkia midei kedusha in Eretz Yisrael. So we in general hold like the, right, we hold like the Beit Yosef that it's not a problem. And Yerushalayim, I think they're knowing that way, which is that they don't worry about kedusha shvis. In Bnei Brak, on the other hand, they worry, they're choshesh for the shitas of Mabit, and therefore they think that even when they buy you bulnachri, right, that it possibly has kedusha shvis. So they treat it with kedusha shvis, even though it's yudul bulnachri mikshash. But that's not even the biggest issue, because that's in your hands. The bigger issue is that there's a rule by shvis that if you buy something with kedusha shvis, not only do the fruits remain with shvis, the money that you use to pay for it is tofes kedusha shvis, becomes kadosh with kedusha shvis. So you go to the store, you buy yuvul nachri. So now, number one, the yuvul you bought, your choshesh for kedusha shvis, but the money you gave to the store owner has kedusha shvis now, because that's what's tofes. Shvis has this unusual characteristic that it's tofes on the money. Why does that matter? So it really doesn't really matter, because now it's the owner of the store's problem. But the problem is, if he gives you change,
it matters to him.
Right, it matters to him. But he's no. But if he's an air cleaner, he's going to take care of the bigger issue.
He's credit
is that right? Very good. Very good. So that's it. So they use, right? They don't. If you pay with, yeah, they use checks and credit cards so that they're not using cash.
Checks have to bounce.
That's,
yeah.
So that's the way to get around it. The money's co-face, and then you get change from the chen money. You're going to end up with money that's just shvius, and you can't do anything with it. You can't. Then you have to buy other payers that are not just shvius to put a transfer on. So balagad. So that's what they use again.
If you use
the
check,
it
gives
the
money.
Right.
Whatever he gets the check is also the
Kedusha. No, because it might be that only Kesef is Tofes. Meaning that this rule, that Kedusha being Tofes, has to be in a din in Kesef. Right, so that's a question about check, that you have to, a separate, this is beyond what, you know, we're discussing now. That's a Choshen, that's a Choshen Mishpat issue. Again, how do checks function as a milvet?
Better than check.
Yeah, it's credit cards even better, but I'm saying, well, how do they function? I mean, that as a check, I mean, how different is currency today that we use than a check? Because they're both an IOU, in a sense. But maybe the IOU of the government is better than your IOU, but I'm not going to get into it. Again, this is...
I don't know.
This is a...
with the Abominium, right?
Right, next...
Check clears.
This year. This upcoming...
There's also similar questions in terms of rivets. I know whether... basically, credit card
reject. Whether that you might be able to circumvent it. All right, either way, I'm saying that that's the problem. So here, those are the two exceptions. The Ram points out, the two exceptions, when the money is tofes the kedusha, is avodas kochavim and shvius. So you can't say that it's a general principle if you sell it to someone else, and that the money will, hey, tofes the kedusha. Behind it, it's not a maisel abereish chulin, chum make central over aver achar pesach mutar. Miyad, Mipeshein Machliban. That if you have chametz, this will be counted on in the stores, right? In the stores, say they did not sell their chametz over Pesach. You go into, we say that once they've cleared that produce out, once that produce has changed, right, the inventory is gone, that you can go to that store and buy again. But if the truth was that the money was tofes to kedusha, when you did that, then what's going to happen? He sold that chametz, he has money, buys new inventory, that new inventory should have kedusha with it. The fact that it doesn't proves to you that what? That there's no, but got to be a third party in regards to someone who sells this Sarah Noah, you don't have to worry about what he's doing with that money. Right, so far the Ron said three things. One is that this question's not about Nadarim alone, it's about also Yisrei Hanoh. Number two is, we're not talking about the Chatchila, okay, because we know the Chatchila, you can't sell Yisrei Hanoh. Because I can prove it to you, Shura Nisko, Chametz, Rav Alav Pesach, I can prove to you that you can't sell it, because otherwise we'd have great solutions, and also if you stole it, you'd be chayav. Right? The fact that you don't, we don't let you do the Chatchila. So that's number two, he said. The third thing he said is that when it comes to a third party, we're not talking about here. Even if you sell, I mean, if you sell an Yisrei Hanoh, and another person wants to come to benefit from that money, we don't say this Chilu Fehem for that third party. That's again the case of Chametz. Chametz Rav Alav Pesach, if after Pesach you go and clear that inventory, right, and then he buys new inventory from it, we don't say you're restricted in that new inventory, because you have no shaykhus to his selling of the Yisrei Hanoh. That's his problem, not your problem.
So you're only allowed to do it, but the Yisrei is not
the Tofes, right, so
it's
so regards to you. Ella, we speculate. Right, this is the question of the Gemara, and this is what the Ron posits here. The Gemara in regards to Siklei Imitasri, the Machlif Midrabanan Bi'alma Olo. Right, this is the question here. For the one who does the exchange, is there an Isra Banan on that, what he exchanges? All right? This is the question of the Gemara. Why? When we say that the Isser in our Mishnah is with Chilufim, this is when the Noder, when he takes his Neder, that's what his intent is. When he uses the terms, Hari Peiro, Konin Peiros Eilu Alai, he means the Peiros, Chilufim, and Gidulim. That's what he means. If it's because this is his intent when he takes such a nether, but if it, even though it's something that he's restricted, it's not in the world now, but you're allowed to do that. That's one of the things that a nether is allowed to do. A nether is allowed to restrict yourself in something you don't own. Right? So here, it's just like you can restrict yourself in your friend's property, you can restrict yourself in something, shaloba the olam. But by a third party, you can't do such a thing, because if it's all about the intent of the neder, you don't have rights to restrict your friend, right, in something that's not yours. Gavar shaloba the olam to your friend. Those are both items that you're not the subject, and the object is not in your ownership. Right? You don't own the Isser Hanah. You don't own the Chilufim, Gidulahim are not existent, and you don't own your friend, it's not you, so you can't restrict it.
You don't say the same thing by Shur, right? Shur would say you cannot, Shur is not Tavis and Tavis
Shur. Yeah, that's right. Shur is not, yes, in general, yes. We would say Shur is not Tavis, Tavis Shur. Right, Odelma. Or maybe we say, right, that the Chi, I mean, a nether technically should not be Tavis and Tavis Shur, because it's on the object. And there's no object in which you're asking God. No, I'm saying that nether shouldn't work either. The point is here that maybe this question on nether includes Kidufam and Kidulam are extensions of the original object. Right. Odilma, Dechi. It's not a masnis and a surbi chilufayim. Love batar datias. And that doesn't have to do with the purview of the nether. Elohacha hachihu dechol asurina chilufayim asurim mitarabana namachlif atzmo. That the restriction here is not because chilufayim are included in the nether, but rather it has to do with this iser drabanan. That why are chilufayim asur when you do this? Because any iser hanah, it's chilufayim are asur mitarabana. That's the knas. That's the question here of the Gemara. Is this such a knas? If that's hilkach, lo shnahu, lo shachavero, then the position of the knas would not matter whether it's him or his friends, because he's not really ushering davar shelo bali olam. This is a knas derabanan on Israel that was exchanged. That knas derabanan should stand whether it's him or not him. That's like coming
to knas derabanan is that derabanan, even though except for shis and lo shachavim. Right. It's not Tophes on the Chilufim, but Derabanan.
It's
Tophes Derabanan.
Right. Exactly. Very good. That's exactly the question. That's the Safek. Equivalent to, again, if you have Chomesh Avar Lava Pesach, right, even though we pass in, right, we pass, I think, Rabbi Shimon, that it's not, is it Rabbi Shimon? I think it's Rabbi Shimon over there, that's only Asr Mi Derabanan, it's Mutu Begam, right, Mina Torah, but the Rabbanan imposed a Knas on someone who's coming to Rav Pesach. That Knas applies to him and to anyone else. I mean, when they apply the Knas, they don't just say it's him that's restricted in using Chomesh Rav Pesach, you can't use that Chomesh Rav Pesach also. So that's the same thing here. If they place the Knas on Chilufayim, that apply to you and to, what, anyone else. So that's what the Gemara. That's what the Gemara's query is over here. Wait, is there this section Isser Drabanan of Chilufayim or not? Why do we care if there's such a knas? When you have exchange in Isser Hanah, the Chilufayim now will be Tophes Kedusha or Tophes Isser Hanah Midrabanan. Why do we care? So that's what I said. The napkamina is whether it applies to a third party or not. When it comes to you, for sure, you can't, right, if you sell it, then Chilufayim are restricted to you, because either way, no matter what the reason is, it's restricted to you. Why? One, it's because it's included in the nether. Or number two is because if there's a Knas Derabanan. Both of those will apply to you. The napkamina is when you go to a third party. If you say it's included in the purview of the nether, that might not be true for a third party anymore. Why? Because you can't restrict a third party in something that doesn't exist. Right? That's not within your control. But if it's a Knas Derabanan, right, then the Knas Derabanan is going to equally apply to yourself as well as to the other person. So when you restrict him in Hanah, he's now also restricted in Chilufayim because of this Knas Derabanan. That's exactly the Gemara's question, according to the Ran. Where I want to know, when you use these Lashonos by someone else, Konim Peros Ha'ilu, Al Kaveirai, or whatever, on my friend, does that include Knas, or does that include Chilufayim, or not include Chilufayim? And then Afkamina has to do with this Isser Derabanan. Right now, All right. I think, yeah, we can stop here. I don't think the round just gets a little deeper, but not much deeper. All right, so that's it. I would just go at the conclusion of the round here, Hilton and Halakha, which is like the end of the round, because, of course, our Gemara is once again Abaya Delo Yeshita. It's classic Nidarim. Gemara asked a question, brought two proofs, and rejected both proofs, and then leaves it. Right, no conclusion, right? That's classic Nidarim, so you have to deal with the Indian Halakha. So if you look in the round, it's on Mem Zayinim with that. The words Indian Halakha.
In general, those little older and sort of it's like speculative, it may never happen. But can you say, let's say an animal is pregnant, or let's say even a flowering plant, it's kind of in there already. It's not.
Right, so it's a very good question. It's a Tosfos, right? Tosfos in Shabbos. It's a very good question. The Tosfos beginning of Shabbos deals with that with the garbage. It's in Shabbos, Tosfos in Beitza. Tosfos beginning of Beitza.
Ochla de Ephrasu.
Right. Ochla de Ephrasu. But there he talks about rain. The Gemara says that rain is a nolat because it's Tavashal Baliolam. So Tosfos there wants to distinguish between a case where the clouds were there beforehand and the clouds come afterwards. Now, you might be. There might be stages or levels of what you're describing, of Darash Abolo, Darash Abolo,
predictability.
Right, so they have, it might be that those issues are something that it could discuss. I mean, Lekavah Shabbos and Muksa, the Gemara or Tosfos is willing to differentiate between those two items. I don't know if he would by Yisrael and other parts of Tavash Abolo, but they have such an idea that you're suggesting does exist to Tosfos. I think it's twice. Shows up twice, but once in the Shabbos and Gemara and Beitza, on the first, I think, Amud and Beitza, Tosfos discusses it over there. Alright, in the Indian Halacha. Alright, so the Indian Halacha, he says, Lagabi Noder Atzmo, when it comes to the one who takes Neder himself, Damar Elu, I feel like Knifan Akher Noder Aser Behen. Doesn't matter, even if a third party goes in and changes them or redeems them, then he is restricted. The Hainu Masnisen. That's our Mishnah. That's explicitly our Mishnah. He says, by the Elu, he restricts himself in, in the object, Kilufayim Kiduahim. That's the Mishnah, the explicit Mishnah. Nothing to talk about. The question of our Gemara, which is where it's a third party, the Chaynami bin Noder Atzmo, the Lo Amar Elu. So the two questions are going to come up where, number one, the Noder himself does not use the term Elu. And number two is where a third party, right, actually takes the net. Like our question in our Gemara, which is what happens when you're saying it about a third party. Mistabra to the Kula Nakatina. Makes sense that we go to Kula. So why do we go to Kula? In general, our principle by Nidarim is what? The Chumrah. Right, when we have a Sufik in Nidarim, we usually go to Chumrah, not the Kula. The Keva, the B'chiyah Gavna Gabi Yisriya, now the Alma, Lekala Meimar Tichuvayim Ki Gidulehem Dami, Elamit Rabbanan Be'alma. Because the restriction that would apply in this case, where you don't say Elu, and in a case where you're talking about a third party, what are we talking about here? We're not talking about an Isser in a Torah, right? We're talking about a question whether there's a Knafs midrabanan or not. So the question is really in a question de Rabbanan. You could appreciate it. Well, that's what he sets up the whole Gemara to be a question de Rabbanan.
No, saying the Reis clearly would not be
there's no Tovis. We know that. Only Tvisa and Oveis Kachavim. There is no Tvisa mi de Reis. So the only question is whether de Rabbanan there's a Tvisa here or not. So right now we're really only at a level of de Rabbanan. That's the case. Have a little snake de Rabbanan, Ula de Kula. Comes to something de Rabbanan, we go to Kula. But Filo Avar, Vechlifan, Chalifin, Mutarim. And if he went ahead and exchanged them, the Chalifin would be Mutarim. Aval, Harav Rav Moshe Bar Maimon. So here you see, that's why I said before, when he said Rabbeinu Moshe, that I didn't think it was the Rambam, because he usually says it's either the Rambam or Rav Moshe Bar Maimon.
I'm sure someone doing the whole analysis, when he uses Rambam, when he writes
it. Tatav, Pera Kamishi Mihilkos Nedarim, Harik Dulem, Kulem Safik. So the Rambam argues on the Ran's conclusion here. It says that it's a suffix, and it's a suffix nidarim, and suffix nidarim goes le chumrah. Or a ban zal. So here again, you see, he doesn't use the term.
It's suffix nidarim,
instead of
the Rambam.
Rambam just says suffix, and therefore it's also, it doesn't determine whether it's the rice or the rabbana.
Yeah, but he says, suffix is also, if it's suffix the rice.
Right? No, but he might say even here, by suffix the rabbana, because it's a knas that we don't apply. Sometimes when you say suffik derabanan lekula, that's only when we have a suffik in a halacha derabanan. But whereas by knas, maybe we don't apply it. I mean, that knas by suffik derabanan, we might say that knas is lechumrah, right? I mean, that might be the issue. I don't know what. I'm not clear what's driving the Rambam here, but there are other ways to get around it. Right? He might either hold it still right now, right? And disagree with the Ran's whole premise about how this Gemara is read, right? That's one possibility.
Well, the chatzchila, he's saying.
Right? All right, maybe the chatzchila, but the Ran said even the chatzchila, when it comes to a third party, we're not going to say it's also because it's suffik derabanan lekula. Right, so that's not, the Rambam may disagree with that principle of using Sefik Darabanan in this case, or he may not believe it's a Sefik Darabanan like you're suggesting, Shul. Right, but Ramban's out, again, he doesn't use the term Rabbeinu Moshe, he uses Ramban, Ramban's out. Mistam le stume le kaman, but perika no dermina yerk. The Ramban does a stam on that Mishnah. Later on, he just says it's stam, right, and he doesn't differentiate over there. So I don't know if he's suggesting that it's the same halacha, meaning that it's not, he does not differentiate, or that he only mentions it by the Mishnah that talks about you yourself, and therefore that's what he was stam on. I didn't know, we'll have to get there when we get to the Mishnah to look into the Ramban. But that's the conclusion. The Ramban, because he sets up this whole Gemara as being a Sefik Darabanan, therefore the conclusion halacha has a major impact in that it's a Sefik Darabanan Lekula. And since it's a subject in the Rabbanan, he's willing to let it go when it comes to the part where you didn't say Elu, where a person says about himself and use the term Elu, because then what's the subject? The subject is, does his language Elu, what drives the Elu fan, or is it the Knas the Rabbanan? So if it's his language Elu, then it would apply, right? It would apply only when he says Elu. If it has to do with Elu fan, it's a Knas the Rabbanan, it would apply even if he doesn't use the term Elu. Number two is, does it apply to his friend? His friend is a Darvish Shalom Ba'adi Olam, right? If you say it's all about...
What do you think is the distinction of
if you say it's because they use the term Elu, it includes Chilu Fan and Gugulei Ham, then only when he uses the word Elu would it apply. If he doesn't use the word Elu, it should not apply. Whereas if you believe it's a Knas the Rabbanan, that it's Toface, Gugulei Ham is Toface, it shouldn't matter if he uses the word Elu or doesn't use the word Elu, it's all about the Knas the Rabbanan. So then it wouldn't matter. That's a suffix. Whether when he does not use the word Elu, that'll be a suffix. Number two is, if it's his friend. If he's talking about his friend, right, then again, if it's all about the term Elu, and that's not Elu, but the fact that it's included in his term, that his nether, when he says such a nether, that his friend should not be included because it's Dabar Shalom Bavi Olam, and he can't restrict Dabar Shalom Bavi Olam. Because if it's a Knas the Rabbanan, right, again, it would include his friend, because the Knas the Rabbanan equally applies to you as it applies to your friend, and we would not consider it a Dabar Shalom Bavi Olam, it's a Knas the Rabbanan. Once you have an Yisrael Hanol, you can't do Kibbutz for him, that's the Knas the Rabbanan. And since it's a Suffolk the Rabbanan, according to the Ran, in both those cases, we're going to pass on the Kula. Which means if you don't use the term Elu, or if you ask your friend in such a case, then the Kibbutz for him would not be a sur, right? It would not be a problem.